Let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. Praise God. This is what? Healing school, right? Is that what you came for? Praise God. Healing school. Amen. Praise God. I remember when I first went out to Rhema, first moved out there, and back in those days, we were old school. You didn't go for a campus visit or anything. I mean, you sold everything you had and you took off out there. And of course, I didn't have very much. It was just me. I was 20 years old. Just had turned 20 years old, so I didn't really have to sell anything because it didn't take much to support me. I didn't have anything to sell really. I moved out there all my possessions in the trunk of my Chevy Malibu. So, now Malibu was bigger in those days. This was a '77 Malibu, which is quite much bigger than a 2000. And do they still make them, Malibu? The 2012 Malibu is much bigger than that. So I could get a little bit more in the trunk, but I moved out there and that. My brother went out with me. Mike went out. He drove out with me so I wouldn't have to drive out there by myself. And the first day we were out there, or first or second day, I think it might have been maybe the second day, I don't know. But we went to healing school. Brother Hagin had healing school, and they had healing school every afternoon at 2 o'clock on the Rhema campus. And so Brother Hagin was teaching it, and so that was a treat. That was our first service on the Rhema campus was healing school. That would have been late July, maybe July 30th or 31st or somewhere in there, some late July of 1981. Oh, well, Karen wasn't born then. So, yeah, hallelujah. All right, Dave, you might want to move away in case lightning were to strike nearby there. So. Praise God. All right, let's get into the word here. Matthew chapter 8, verse 14, it says, "Now when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever. So he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and served them. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, 'He himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses.'" Passage that we just read, it starts out talking about the healing of Peter's mother-in-law. And this followed right on the heels of, at least, I don't know if it happened within, if it was, I guess it was the same day of when Jesus healed, he had healed the leper, he had cleansed the leper, as you begin the chapter and of Matthew chapter 8. And then he comes into Capernaum, and the centurion comes to him and pleads with him for his servant who's paralyzed. And Jesus said, "I'll come and heal him." Centurion said, "It's not necessary. Just speak the word, and my servant will be healed." Jesus said, "That's great faith. Go your way, and as you believe, let it be done for you." And so the servant was healed that same hour. And so then he comes into Peter's home. And Peter's mother-in-law is there, and she's lying sick with a fever. Jesus touches her hand, the fever leaves her, and she gets up and begins to serve Jesus and those around him, which tells me right there you can serve the Lord better when you're well. Amen. Yes, right. Hallelujah. Some thought, "Well, God put this on me." You know, you don't hear that so much anymore, thank God. God put this on me as a special way for me to serve him. And I appreciate people that, you know, their courage and people being willing to, you know, still follow God and serve God in the midst of a sickness or an illness or something like that. But thank God we know that God didn't put that on them. Right. And that not sickness, but healing glorifies God. You read other scriptures in the Gospels, and it says when Jesus healed the people, then they glorified God. Yes, that's right. Amen. And so here, he's healed the leper, he's healed the centurion's servant, and then he heals Peter's mother-in-law. Three individuals that get healed. And you could read that and you could say, "Well, yeah, Jesus healed them, but that doesn't mean healing is for me or that healing is for all necessarily." But when you read the rest of this, then it makes a case that, yes, healing is for all. Because it says, when evening came, then they brought, after this had happened, they brought many who were demon-possessed. It says he cast out the spirits of the word and he healed how many? All who were sick. He healed all who were sick. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. So Matthew comments that this healing of all that were sick that had gathered together there in that place, I don't know how many there were, maybe a few dozen, maybe a few hundred, we don't know exactly, but we do know that they were all healed. We do know that no matter what size that crowd was, that there was not one in there where Jesus is up, not you. Would you move over? Would you get out over or over here? It's not God's will for you to be healed. Not one of those. Amen. And we also know, as you read other scriptures in Matthew, that it says great multitudes gathered. Great multitudes gathered to him, and it makes this statement, he healed them all. Even in that great multitude, there was not one where Jesus said, I'm sorry, would you please stand over here? You know, we can't deal with you today. It's not God's will for you to be healed. Not one time do you find him saying that. Right. Amen. He healed all. Praise God. And Matthew said this was a fulfillment of what Isaiah had spoken and, of course, written. He himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Jesus took our infirmities. Yes. All of them. Yes. All. Everybody say all of them. He took all of them for all of us. Yes. He took all the infirmities for all of us. Amen. Jesus bore our sicknesses. He did it for all of us, and he did it with all of them sicknesses, all them infirmities for all of us. Amen. Isn't that good news? Yes. Praise God. And Matthew, again, Matthew says it fulfilled what Isaiah had spoken and what Isaiah had written. Well, let's go back and look exactly what Isaiah did say. What Isaiah did write, what Matthew is quoting. And so go with me. You know where it's at, Isaiah 53. Yeah. By the way, if you're making notes and you want to put a title, the title is Healing, : Provided in Redemption. Amen. Healing, ... Provided in Redemption. I want to make sure you get the proper punctuation in there. Healing is provided in redemption. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 53, verse 4, it says, Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison, from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. Verse 9, and they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death. That's Joseph of Arimathea. Because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Verse 11, he shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. He bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Praise God. I wanted to read that whole passage. You know where we're going to go back to, and that's verses 4 and 5, because those are the ones that talk about healing. But I wanted us to see it in context. I wanted us to see the whole passage here of what he's talking about. And of course, this is written 700 years before Jesus went to the cross, but an absolute, perfect, clear picture of Jesus going to the cross and dying for us on the cross. And you know, this is the passage right here that Ethiopian eunuch was reading as he was riding in his chariot. He had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and he was returning back to Ethiopia. He was an official under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, and the Spirit of the Lord, had translated, or no, that was, translation happened after that, didn't he? didn't it? But Spirit of the Lord had told Philip to go from Samaria and go down there and go get on this road. And then when the chariot started coming by, he said, go join yourself to this chariot. Philip jumped up in the chariot, and the man's reading this passage right here. And he said, let me ask you a question. He said, this prophet, is he talking about himself or somebody else? And the scripture says in the book of Acts that from this scripture, beginning at this scripture, Philip preached to him Jesus. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Well, it was pretty easy, wasn't it? Because yeah. That's Jesus right there, folks. Yeah. That's Jesus. That's talking about Jesus right there. Amen? Amen. So, I want you to see, again, that there's this is no doubt that this scripture is talking about Jesus dying on the cross for the sins of all mankind, for all of our sin. Verse 6, it says, the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. Yeah. It says he was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. In verse 10, it says, you make his soul an offering for sin. Verse 11, it says, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. In verse 12, he poured out his soul, which means his life. He poured out his life unto death, and he bore the sin of many. But then this passage begins with talking about how Jesus purchased our healing, how he purchased our healing. It says, surely he has borne our, the New King James says in verse 4, surely he's borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Now, the word griefs in the margin of my Bible, it means sicknesses and sorrows or pains. He surely has borne our griefs, that's our pains, and carried our sorrows, that's our sicknesses. Jesus bore our pains, and he carried our sicknesses. Many other translations translate it that way. And we know that that's a correct translation because Matthew's interpretation confirms that. When Matthew looked out and saw Jesus had healed all the people that had gathered around him that night in around Peter's house, he said, this fulfilled what was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. The verse he's quoting is this very verse, Isaiah 53, verse 4. Yes. Matthew interprets it to be infirmities and sicknesses. Mm-hmm. Amen. Jesus did bear our griefs. Jesus did carry our sorrows. Yes. Thank God for that. Yes. But he also bore our sicknesses, our pains, our infirmities. Amen. Amen. Verse 5, he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. Hallelujah. Now, Matthew, again, he quotes Isaiah 53, 4, and he says that Jesus healed all who were sick. He says, surely he's borne our sicknesses, he's carried our pains. Again, verse 5, by his stripes we are healed. Again, this is all of us. Amen. Amen. So what we're saying is Jesus purchased our healing in redemption. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus, healing is a part of redemption. Just like Jesus bore our sins, he purchased our healing. Just as surely as Jesus died for our sins, in the same way, Jesus bore our sickness and disease so we could be healed. In the exact same action of redemption, in the exact same work of redemption, at the same time he was bearing our sin, he was also bearing our sickness and our disease. Why did he bear our sin? So we wouldn't have to. Why did he bear our sickness and disease? So we wouldn't have to. Hallelujah. This is the most, to me, the most convincing and clear proof that healing is for all, that healing belongs to us because it is provided in redemption. Amen. We looked last week talking about how it's God's will to heal. But this is, to me, this is taking it a step further. It's not just God's will to heal. It is God's will. We know that. But God proved and demonstrated it was his will to heal when he included healing in redemption. Healing is a redemptive blessing. Healing is a blessing that was purchased for us in redemption. Amen. Amen. Anything that Jesus purchased in redemption, we receive it. We can receive it by faith. It belongs to everybody, and it's received by faith. Yes. Salvation, forgiveness of sin, being free from the from the from the punishment and the judgment of sin, the punishment of sin and the guilt of sin, that belongs to everybody, doesn't it?
Yes.
If they would just believe it and receive it, acknowledge it.
Amen.
Amen. I mean, we all agree with that. The Scripture's clear on that, that the Scripture doesn't say, well, God wants to forgive some people but not others. How do we know that it's His will to forgive all? Because Jesus died for the sins of all. Jesus bore the sins of the whole world. And at the same time, I want you to see it. At the same time that He bore the sins of the whole world, He also bore the sickness and disease of the whole world. Wow. That includes you and me right up to today. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. So Jesus purchased our healing and redemption, and in doing so, He guaranteed our healing. Your healing is guaranteed. Turn to your neighbor and say, your healing's guaranteed. Amen. Amen. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. He says, for to this you were called, 1 Peter 2, starting in verse 21, for to this you were called because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in His mouth, who, when He was reviled, did not revile in return. When He suffered, He did not threaten, but committed Himself to Him who judges righteously, who Himself bore our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. There's a lot in this. It's all wonderful. It's good. He says in verse 21, he tells us that, he says, for to this you were called because Christ also suffered for us. Everybody say, Christ suffered for us.
Christ suffered for us.
Then he says, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps. So Jesus suffered two ways. Jesus suffered as our example, as Peter mentions here. But he doesn't use the word substitute, but he also, in everything else that he's saying here, brings that reality, that truth out, that thought out, that Jesus suffered also as our substitute. The things that Jesus suffered for us as our substitute, that means we need not suffer them anymore. Jesus suffered for our sin so that we don't have to bear the punishment of our sin anymore. Amen. Jesus also suffered and bore our sickness and disease so we don't have to bear that anymore. Amen. But then He suffered as our example. And what He suffered as our example, then we're to follow that. We're to suffer the same way. And don't walk out the door just because I said suffering here. Amen. There is a type of suffering that we're called upon to endure, but it's not sickness. It's not disease. It's not poverty and lack. Amen. What is it? It tells us right here, verse 22. Who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in His mouth. Who, when He was reviled, did not revile in return. When He suffered, He did not threaten, but committed Himself to Him who judges righteously. Boy, that's some suffering, isn't it?
Yes.
Just to keep your mouth shut, isn't it?
Yes.
Huh? That's what He's talking about here. That's suffering, isn't it? Stop that. Tracy's elbowing his wife back there. I busted you. I got you. All right. You got my permission to elbow him right back, Dana. All right. Now, the suffering that we're called to endure is when we're reviled, we don't revile in return. Jesus, it says, He committed no sin, nor was deceit found in His mouth. Boy, to hold our tongue and to keep silent when it would be so easy to retaliate, when it would be so easy, you know. But Jesus didn't do that. He suffered as our example. We're to follow that example. Amen. That's not my message tonight, though. My message is the fact that He suffered as our substitute. That's the main point that I want you to see. In verse 24, it begins to talk about that. Who Himself bore our sins in His own body on the tree. Notice it uses the term the tree. We know He's talking about the cross. Because the cross was made out of a tree, wasn't it? All right. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Praise God. So Jesus did something about our sin, didn't he?
Yes.
He bore it. He bore our sin in his own body on the tree. Why? So that we could be free from sin. So we could live for righteousness. And in the same, at the same action, the same work, by whose stripes you were healed.
Amen.
In other words, let's use the same reasoning with that then. Jesus did something about our sickness and our disease.
Yes.
Why? How? So we could be free from it.
Right.
Jesus did something about our sin so we could live free from sin.
Amen.
Jesus did something about our sickness and disease so we could live free from it. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. So he died for our sins, and at the same time, Peter says, by his stripes you were healed. So in the same act of redemption, Jesus paid for our sins and provided for our healing. In the same act of redemption, mm-hmm. he paid for our sins and he provided for our healing. He bore both our sins and our sicknesses. Amen?
Amen.
Yes. Hallelujah. And Peter says it this way, you know, and we read it in Isaiah. Isaiah says, by his stripes we are healed. Peter uses it in the past tense, doesn't he? He says, by whose stripes you were healed. By whose stripes you were healed. Peter's looking back now to the cross. It's already happened. Isaiah was looking forward. Peter's looking back. It's an accomplished fact now. It's already been done. Amen? Jesus, now when Matthew, in Matthew 8 there that we read, when Matthew quotes it, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Had Jesus paid for that yet? He hadn't, had he? When Jesus healed those people that gathered outside or inside Peter's house, and when Jesus healed every person that he healed during his earthly ministry, he had not paid for it yet, had he? Look up, but Dave Ramsey, forgive me for using this analogy. What Jesus was doing was taking out his Holy Ghost credit card. And this, don't let Dave Ramsey hear this, because he would say, this is not a good analogy. To say that a credit card is something good, or that Jesus would use a credit card, but it's the best way for me to get you to understand it. I think in this context, what Jesus did that day in Peter's home, and what he did throughout his earthly ministry, is he pulled out his Holy Ghost credit card and he said, "Here, I'm gonna cover the bill for this. I'm gonna go ahead and put this on credit so you can enjoy your healing now." And at the end of my ministry in 3.5 years, I'm going to pay the bill in full.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yes.
That's what he did.
That's right.
Amen. Yep. Amen. He accessed healing that he was going to pay for on the cross, and he brought it in to that day for those people to enjoy and to be blessed with. And then he paid it in full on the cross. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. So Clark Howard would be all right about that. He would say, as long as you pay it off every month. So, right. Hallelujah. Don't go out. Pastor David did not tell you to go out and use your credit card. I'm not saying that. All right. A Holy Ghost debit card. No, it wasn't a debit card. That analogy won't work. I mean, it had to be paid for later. The debit card, it comes out of your account right now. So, all right. Anyway. Hallelujah. So he was looking ahead, and he said, don't worry, I'll pay the bill in full. Enjoy your healing now. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Now let's go to look at Psalm 103. Psalm 103, look at verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Everybody say benefits.
Benefits.
Forget not all his benefits. Glory to God. You know, that's really good right there. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. You know, the best way not to forget his benefits is to continually bless the Lord.
Yes.
When you're continually blessing the Lord and praising the Lord, you're going to be stirring yourself up and reminding yourself of all His benefits. Well, what are those benefits? He tells us in the next verse, who forgives all your iniquities. How many of them?
All
of them. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases.
Amen.
Glory to God. Now, the psalmist here, like Isaiah, the psalmist is looking forward. In the Spirit, he's looking forward. By the Spirit of prophecy, he's looking into the future, and he's declaring this. The Lord, now God would do that. God would, you know, somehow God set it up where He could still bring forgiveness and healing to the people, even though it hadn't really, the full payment hadn't been made yet. It couldn't be made fully till Jesus came. But God, you know, through the system that He had set up, it was an imperfect system, but it was the best. He was just trying to get everybody, let's just get you through here till we can get you to Jesus, and Jesus can fully pay for it.
Is what he's
doing. But the psalmist looked by the Spirit of prophecy and saw that day. And he said, forget not all His benefits. He forgives all your iniquities and He heals all your diseases. Now, look at verse 10. Still in the same, in Psalm 103, verse 10, he says, He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. When did that happen? It didn't actually happen until Jesus did it.
Right?
The blood of a bull or a goat couldn't do that. In Hebrews, we find that that could only cover over the sins for another year or for a time period. It was not until Jesus came that He perfectly purchased that and took care of that. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. So He did this on the cross. And at the same time that He removed our transgressions from us, He did what it says in verse 3, healed all our diseases.
Yes.
That's what I want you to see tonight. It's inseparable, the inseparable link of the forgiveness of our sin, of Jesus paying the penalty for our sins and at the same time paying the price for our healing.
Amen.
You can't separate that action.
No.
And the Bible doesn't separate it.
No.
The Bible always groups it together. In James chapter 5, is any sick among you? Let him call the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he's committed sins, he'll be forgiven.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
And then right here in Psalm 103, forget not all His benefits. He forgives all our iniquities. He heals all our diseases. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Look, go with me to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians 3. Thank God for the Word. Amen. Robin asked me if I was planning on praying for people tonight by the laying on of hands. I said, well, no, I'm not. I said, it's just healing school. It's not really a healing service. I don't plan on it. I mean, the Holy Spirit could lead us to do that. But, you know, you can be healed just hearing the Word.
Yes. That's right.
Amen. You can receive your healing.
Yes.
You know, well, man, I came to receive my healing tonight. Well, the Word is healing. He sent His Word and healed them.
Yes.
Amen. Now, the Lord tells us to do, we'll lay hands on you. And sometimes He leads us to, certainly. And then sometimes we have services where we're specifically, that's our purpose. But the Word of God is medicine to our flesh. Amen. It's healing for us. Amen. Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. Everybody say for us. Peter said Christ suffered for us. Jesus suffered as our substitute. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. So we're free from the curse of the law.
Yes.
We're redeemed from it.
Amen.
And how did we get redeemed from it? Because Jesus became a curse for us. He took our place. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Peter used that same phrase, the tree. He bore our sins in His own body on the tree. And here, Paul is using that. Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. That's an Old Testament. That's in the law. Cursed is everyone who hangs. Is it in Deuteronomy? I believe it's Deuteronomy, or maybe it's Leviticus. Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. And so Jesus fulfilled that. Jesus did that. And in doing that, he redeemed us from the curse of the law. Oh, and you want to be glad you're redeemed from the curse of the law.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Once you find out what the curse of the law is, you are glad you're redeemed from it.
Amen.
And so that's what we're going to do. Amen. We're going to look at the curse of the law. What is it? What is the curse of the law? You need to know what you're redeemed from.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Amen. Deuteronomy 28, verse 15, but it shall come to pass. Now, you know, Deuteronomy chapter 28, the first 14 verses are the blessings, right?
Yep.
Amen. If you hearken to the voice of the Lord your God and obey Him, all these blessings will come on you and overtake you. Verses 1 through 14 are all the blessings. Starting in verse 15, it's where the curse begins. Mm-hmm. But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all His commandments and His statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. And so from verse 15 onward through the end of the chapter, it's all the curses. Somebody said, well, how come there's more verses devoted to the curses than the blessing? Well, it's because the blessing is so powerful, it only takes 14 verses to get you blessed. It takes like 45. It takes like 46, 47 verses for the curse to take effect. Only 15. The blessing is so powerful, it takes only 15. Hallelujah. That's my theory anyway. It's pretty good, I think. All right, but let's look at what the curse is. Look at verse 21. We won't take time to read all of this. It's too depressing. But really, it shouldn't be. Because every word you read in Deuteronomy 28, verses 15 through whatever, no matter how bad it looks, you can just laugh and say, ha, 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 I've been redeemed from that.
Amen.
Verse 21, the Lord will afflict you with diseases until none of you are left in the land you're about to enter and occupy. The Lord will strike you with wasting diseases, fever and inflammation, with scorching heat and drought, with blight and mildew. These disasters will pursue you until you die. Now, many Bible scholars tell us that where it says the Lord will afflict you, or the Lord will cause, or the Lord will bring on you, it really more accurately should have been translated allow. Dr. Young brings that out in his translation and in his writings and commentary, and many others as well. And we know that the Scripture is progressive revelation. When we get to the New Testament, we read this: Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So in other words, what was happening, God says, if you don't obey me, if you refuse to obey me, and if you are stubborn and won't obey me, then you're going to move out from under the umbrella of protection that I set up for you. And the curse is out there. Amen? We see it every day. The curse is still in operation today, isn't it? These things that he's talking about, we see them today, don't we? We see it happening. Yeah, I don't understand that. I see Christians. Well, there's a lot of Christians that don't know what belongs to them. If we don't know what belongs to them, then we fall subject to that. If you don't know you're redeemed from the curse, the devil is going to come and try to put all the things of the curse on you.
Amen.
Amen. We have to know that we're redeemed from it.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. So the Lord will allow is really more accurate than the Lord will bring on you. But by the way, bottom line is, whether it's allowing or permitting or whatever, the point is this. Remember this. Christ has redeemed us from that.
Yes. Amen.
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 Verse 27. The Lord will strike you with the boils of Egypt, with tumors, with the scab, and with the itch, from which you cannot be healed. The Lord will strike you with madness and blindness and confusion of heart. Now, somebody shout out, I've been redeemed from that. I like this. The confusion of heart, in the New Living Translation, it says panic. Panic. Isn't that good? You've been redeemed from panic attacks. That's part of the curse.
Yes.
Amen. Panic is a part of the curse. Confusion of heart, that's part of the curse. I'm redeemed from it.
Yes.
I'm redeemed from that. Amen.
That's right. Amen.
Verse 35, the Lord will strike you in the knees and on the legs with severe boils, which cannot be healed, and from the sole of your foot to the top of your head. Somebody say, thank God.
Thank God.
I'm redeemed from all that.
I'm redeemed from all that.
Amen. Amen. Verse 58. If you do not carefully observe all the words of this law that are written in this book, that you may fear this glorious and awesome name, the Lord your God, then the Lord will bring upon you and your descendants extraordinary plagues, great and prolonged plagues, and serious and prolonged sicknesses. Moreover, he will bring back on you all the diseases of Egypt of which you were afraid, and they shall cling to you. Now, he had told them previously, we looked at it last week, he says, none. He said, if you'll serve me, if you'll follow me, he said, I'll bring on you none of the diseases that came on the Egyptians. None of the diseases of Egypt that you knew in Egypt, you'll not experience those anymore. Isn't that what he told them and promised them? He said, For I am Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord your physician. I am the Lord your healer. Amen?
Amen.
All right, and so he says these diseases of Egypt will come back on you and they'll cling to you. Now look at verse 61. Also, every sickness and every plague which is not written in this book of the law will the Lord bring upon you until you are destroyed. So in other words, he's saying all these that he's mentioned, all these that we just read, all these sicknesses, diseases, plagues, pestilences, all these things, that's under the curse of the law. That's part of the curse. And also, just to sum it all up here, he catches it, every sickness and every plague that he didn't specifically identify and mention, that's part of the curse of the law too. So every sickness and disease that's written down, and also every sickness and disease that's not written down. Let me ask you a question here. Let's think this through. Is there any other sickness or disease that's outstanding here, that's not included under the ones that are written down and the ones that are not written down?
No.
That's all of them, isn't it?
Yep.
In other words, there can't be one sickness to pop up over here and say, hey, you didn't cover me. You're not redeemed from me. I'm not in that. No, everything's in that list, isn't it?
Yep.
All sickness and disease is covered as part of the curse of the law. Christ, okay, let's read Galatians 3:13 now with a new appreciation, hopefully. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Can we read it this way? Christ has redeemed us from every sickness and every disease. We absolutely can, can't we? Christ has redeemed us from every sickness and every disease, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Jesus perfectly, fully, and completely provided healing in redemption. He didn't leave anything out. He covered it all. He covered it all. Healing belongs to you. Healing belongs to me because Jesus, God the Father, in His great plan of redemption that He sent Jesus to fulfill and to consummate, God the Father provided complete healing for every condition, every sickness, every disease for all of us.
Amen.
Healing is God's will for you. How could you ever wonder if it's God's will for you to be healed? Jesus provided it at the same time that He bore our sins, that He provided salvation from sin. We can just as confidently and boldly say, and we should say, when we say to the sinner, when we say to the lost person, the person that's not come to Christ, if you will come to Jesus, if you'll call on the name of Jesus, you shall be saved. That's what the Bible says, right? Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, we're not changing that scripture any to say this. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord, shall be healed.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Because He provided it at the same time. Amen. At the same time He provided salvation from sin, He provided healing for our bodies. Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Glory to God. Why don't you stand up and declare that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Just raise your hands and boldly declare it. Hallelujah. Say, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. He became a curse for me. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Jesus hung on the tree. Jesus hung on the cross for me, to redeem me, to redeem me from sin, and to redeem me from sickness. I am redeemed from the curse of the law. I am redeemed from all sickness, all disease, all infirmity. I am redeemed. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. He forgives all my iniquities. He heals all my diseases. By His stripes, I was healed. If I was healed, then I am healed. I declare today that I am healed, that I am free. I'm free from sin. I'm free from the power of sin. I'm free from the guilt of sin. I'm free from the penalty of sin. Jesus bore that for me. And I'm free from sickness. I'm free from disease. Jesus bore them for me. I am healed. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Oh, we praise you, Jesus. Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Hallelujah. Praise you. Praise you, Jesus. Oh, praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. We thank you. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God.